This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Dara Hashgraph up 12.5%. Woo! Just climbed over 10 cents, Manny.
Victories, huh?
Hey, when your bag is at 4 cents,
yeah, you'll take it.
You goddamn right, that bag's over 120%.
Yep,
I that sounds like profits to me.
Happy for you, man.
Goddamn right, you got to hang in there, bro. You know, but that's where you buy all the way at the bear market like a year ago when it was at 4 cents. And everybody's telling you, you're a fucking maniac. You're crazy. What are you doing? Don't worry. It'll come back. It'll come back. And sure enough, baby, Hedera. Woo! Love it. It's about to explode. The whole market's about to explode. It is. The MACD is turning on Bitcoin. And it is. You're going to see. Watch Bitcoin make an 80,000 to 90,000 run now. Watch. It's coming. It's about to pop, bro. It's about to pop. Anyway, so what's popping with the Canes? What is popping in the recruiting world?
Well, Damian Martinez, the running back from Oregon State, will be visiting here on Thursday. So that's the big fish in terms of who Miami is chasing. Martinez, of course, 1,100-yard rusher, number two in the Pac-12 last season, one of the best available running backs. I think the only guy better than him really was Quinshon Judkins, who ended up going to Ohio State. So he's basically the second best running back that entered the portal this cycle. And, you know, a guy that I think Miami really needs, especially, you know, not knowing how Mark Fletcher is going to come back from his foot and shoulder injuries. And same thing with A.J. Allen, who's the other guy who they really like that stayed around that they brought in from Nebraska the year before. So you need a true number one guy. I think Damian Martinez is perfectly fit for this offense. He can team up with Cam Ward, and you got two of the best players in the backfield in the ACC this coming season. So Miami's trying to convince him when he comes to visit Thursday. There's a couple of other guys that they're after as well. Had a couple guys jump into the transfer portal as well in the last couple days.
Don't tell me. Come on.
Yes. Jared Harrison Hunt, one of your starters on the defensive line.
Okay. The D tackle. No, they're not going after Cormani McClain, right?
Oh, no. Okay, good. No. They lost one notable player in Jared Harrison Hunt. Everybody else who's left really wasn't a starter. They were just kind of rotation guys or just guys that never really even got into the rotation over the last week or so. So, you know, Harrison Hunt was a starter, but I will say that Mario was really excited about the two guys that they brought in to play defensive tackle in terms of transfers that were here this spring. So, you know, one of those things where playing time, the guy's the sixth-year senior, and he's not going to get to play as much because he's going to be part of a rotation. So now you play the freshman. You play some of the younger guys that you've brought in, Ahmad Moten, who's in his third year. You've got some talented freshmen coming in, so those guys will take up Jared Harrison Hunt's slack. But, you know, the next week or so will be interesting. Right now I got Miami, I think, at 84 scholarships based on my math of who's come and gone. So they're under the 85. They can add. There'll probably be a couple more guys who are just, I hate to say it, dead weight at the bottom of the roster that'll end up leaving. And then you free up those scholarships to add, you know, another four or five guys.
Okay. I like it. Good stuff there. For Jakari, he is transferring.
Yeah.
Was it worth it to stick around the extra time for him and then transfer, or would it have been better for him to just enter the portal from the get-go when the season ended to get a better chance for him to latch on somewhere else? Because, you know, you put the rest on, you put a little bit more on tape, and maybe it wasn't good enough what you put on tape mm-hmm. to entice anybody. So you gave him more of what you didn't want to entice. So right. I'm just wondering, did it kind of backfire on the kid?
Probably, but I think you couldn't have predicted it because remember, Cam Ward didn't sign till late, right? And so basically his competition when he could have switched schools was just going to be Emery Williams and Reese Poffenbarger and the freshman that came in. So the moment Cam Ward came in, it made things obviously more difficult for him. And, you know, it's just the way college football is now. Everybody, I think, just has a hard time because, you know, you invest time, right, in developing these kids. You spend years, 2 years, 3 years developing, and then they leave. And you're like, man, what a waste. And it's like, no, it's happening everywhere in college football.
Everybody, everywhere.
And here's the thing I tell people. Look at the assistant coaches and how long they stick around now. It's not very long. So what happens is the position coaches switch teams, and they just bring the guys that they were working with at their other school to come with them to their new school. And that's kind of what – that's just what happens, you know? So I think this is the new era, and you kind of just have to get adjusted to it in college football. You're going to invest in guys. You're going to develop them. You're going to recruit the hell out of them out of high school, and they could pick up their bags and leave after a year or two because the situation has changed. And I think that the most important thing is that you take your cuts, and Mario takes his cuts, and he lands some big fish. And as long as you land a few big fish, it doesn't matter who the supporting fish are in my mind. They're going to rotate year to year.
Yeah, I had somebody on Twitter. Oh, well, Mario's losing players. He can't. And I'm like, dude, everybody. It's like it's all over the place. All these punks are like they don't get what they want, and they're leaving right away, dude.
Right.
They have that option now. They could just pick up and leave, and that's fine. And I'm going to go with Larinaga on this. All you're going to do is hurt your development. You know, unless the program is a complete, utter disaster, then, okay, you got to leave. But if you're going to keep moving around, you're not ever going to get better, bro. It doesn't work that way. And to meet the guys that stay and stick it out and play and continue to play, they're going to improve personally. And so that's going to help you in your development overall. The whole team thing, I kind of get it, but bro, if you're getting your NIL money, then the next thing you're supposed to do is work your ass off but they want it all handed to them.
Right. Now, well, and that's the thing here. I mean, Miami's approach basically is pay big up front, right? Bring them in the door. You have the talent. You have the guys that have the big bodies that are supposedly the best recruits. Then you put them through hell. And if they can't stand hell, get out. You know, if you can't take the coaching and you're not really ready to take those next steps, then, hey, you know what? They come, they knock on your door and say, hey, remember that $750,000 NIL deal or $500,000? It's only good for this year. And next year you're only getting $100,000 or $50,000. And if you don't like it, see ya. And that's basically what happens. It's a year-to-year deal. Oh, and it's smart business. I mean, ultimately, every one of these coaches doesn't really know what they're getting. They can recruit the hell out of guys. They can get to know their families. But then it's once you have them in the building and, hey, you got to show up to practice. Hey, you got to show up to school. Hey, you got to do all these other things. Until you go through that, you really don't know what that guy is. And sometimes the kid is a good player and he does all the right things, but he wants to play for a different coach, or he has somebody else that he wants to go play for. He likes the position coach and he wants to follow the position coach to that school. So it's just a revolving door, and that's what happened. College football became everyday free agency, and that's the insanity of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of what we're going to end up dealing with. By the way, what'd you think of that whole Florida State and whole thing with that they've got to now go to mediation or something? What the hell is that?
I mean, listen, ultimately they're fighting to just them and Clemson are just fighting to get their TV rights, right, from the ACC, and they're going to and they can switch states, they can move it all around. Ultimately somebody's going to have to make a decision, right? They're going to have to look at this contract and say it's fair or unfair, whether it's mediators, whether it's the Supreme Court, whatever it is. And I shudder to think that at some point somebody's going to actually give Florida State and Clemson and the rest of all of college football to just say, well, none of these TV contracts that you signed, none of these deals, these grant of rights count or matter because they're unfair. If they do that, you talk about chaos with players. Imagine that now, year to year to year, where people are just switching conferences because they want to chase the money for the bigger TV contract. At some point the NCAA and these TV, you know, these powerful TV networks have to come to some sort of agreement. So there's some level of regulation. Maybe this is what spurns it, where we get to a point where, you know, the contracts that they're signing are not valid. Maybe that's what happens with Florida State and Clemson, but I just don't see it because it would create all kinds of chaos, you know, for college football and for college sports in general. So we'll see. But maybe mediation is the way to the right answer for this, and maybe the ACC just says, you know what, Florida State and Clemson, you can go. We'll agree to let you leave. And sayonara, good luck getting into the SEC or Big Ten and getting those deals. So
they'll scoop them up. Those programs will be scooped up, bro.
Oh yes, but will they get all of that pot? Will the Big Ten or SEC schools say, yeah, go ahead, you're equal to the rest of us, or they're gonna do kind of what the ACC has done to SMU and to Cal? And
nah, I doubt it, bro. I see. Here's my problem with all of this, Manny.
Yeah.
And you're probably just like I am. We've been at this so long, we're freaking cynical at this point.
Yeah.
I have to think that Florida State and Clemson have had conversations with the other conferences already.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I have to think that, hey, if you guys get out of it, you'll be one of our partners. And we're talking Florida State, Clemson. You know, NC State, I can see them kind of pulling some shit like that on NC State. You know, but Florida State, Clemson, or Miami? Nah, I think that's enough of a draw.
What makes this equal
footing? Because when they come to your town, they're gonna fill it up.
What makes this cloudy ultimately is that you have two predominant TV channels that are in the middle of all this, right? You have the Fox Network, right, which is the Big Ten, and then you have ESPN, who already owns these schools technically, because SEC is part of ESPN.
Right.
So are they really going to pay them that much more? They're going to say, hey, we've got this deal with the SEC. SEC, you want to add Florida State and Clemson. That's great, but you're going to have to cut the pie a little bit more. And are they all going to be willing to accept that, so to speak, that smaller pie? I don't know.
Now on the flip side, for our purposes down here, if you're Miami, you have rooting interest in this, right? Because this opens the door for you, correctly. If they're successful, this kind of like what happened. You know, you don't follow this shit, but Ripple had a very successful case against the SEC and Gary Gensler, which opened up by proving that they weren't a security and that they're a commodity, which then opened it up for the rest of crypto to then, you know, get the freedom that they need. And so that was a watershed moment for crypto. So I'm thinking this could be a watershed moment for the conference and for UM if Florida State and Clemson are successful here.
Right. But it all depends on how it gets resolved, though, because like I said, what if they go to mediation and ACC just decides, you know what? We don't want to lose our grant of rights, but we're going to let Clemson and FSU pay their way to leave. And we're not going to charge them $560 million, but we're going to have some other agreement. That doesn't necessarily open the door for Miami and everybody else. Right. Which is why I said it's hard for me to think that the court system is just going to say none of these contracts, which is what FSU and Clemson are trying to do. They're basically trying to say these grant of rights and these deals that we signed are no good anymore because we signed it at a time when the business was different. Right. Yeah. And the contracts were different. So that's the argument. It's how does this get resolved? Through mediation or through the court system where some sort of big ruling comes down that frees everyone from grant of right contracts and says, no, this no longer is valid. You can't make these deals and sign them through 2036 anymore. You know, and what does that do to the entire landscape of college football? Does the Big Ten turn around and all of a sudden kick Rutgers and Maryland and all the programs who do nothing for them out of their league in terms of football? Does the SEC turn around and say, Vanderbilt, thanks for the last 100 years, but peace? You know, like that's the interesting part of it. I don't know that we'll get to that. My hunch is we'll get to the part where the ACC just relents and says, you know what? We added these three other teams in the offseason. We're happy with them. Go ahead and get out of our face.
Yep, I'm with you there. All right, what do you got going on in the athletics so folks can check you out, my friend?
Well, we've had lots of transfer portal nuggets. My buddies Max Olson and everybody else there on the staff, we've been putting out every little tidbit in the transfer portal. So if you want to keep track of that, we've got a tracker for everybody in the country and what teams are looking for and who's leaving and all that kind of stuff. We've also got a podcast that I did last week with Carlos Ledo for – the Hurricanes. We talked about Miami's situation in particular, and we've got the like I said, this is the off season time, so we do some of these fun little projects. I did a all-state team in the national in the modern recruiting era for California. So California being, of course, one of the best talent producers. So that's the latest one that I just finished putting up. Got some recruiting feature stories. There's a bunch of stuff in there for people to read.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up on Friday, my friend. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care, man. See
you. Thank you, sir. There you go. Manny Navarro, Caneswear. Use our code BIGO10. Whenever you go there, you will get 10% off. And if you don't live in town or you live too far from Caneswear there in Davie, you can order online. And if you order over $99, you'll get free shipping. And if you use our code, you will get 10% off. So free shipping over $99 and use our code 10% off. It's a beautiful thing. Caneswear.com.